Blog Talk Radio.
Special live edition. This is Saturday, June 12th, 2010. My name is Glenn Kelly. I'm here with Grant Rubendunst.
Hey, wow. Great night. Great investigation ahead of us.
Yes, and we also have our own Mike Jones with us tonight. He's going to be screening calls and joining in here and there. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Cool. So tonight we have our special live investigation with Paranexus board member and Shenandoah Shadows founder, John Rossi. Welcome, John.
Hey, hello, Doug.
Hey, John, welcome.
So we're going to get right into this. If you've got questions, feel free to ask them in the chat room. If you want to call in, you can do that too. The number's there on your screen, and you can also use the Skype click to talk button if you have a headset on your computer. Couldn't get headset out there. So if you've got that, cool. We would love to hear from you. Mike will take your call and relay your info to us, then we'll put you on the air. All right, so John, tonight, where are you at?
We're at the in Strasburg, Virginia, at the Crystal Cavern Uphill Battlefield.
That's in Virginia?
Yes, Strasburg, Virginia.
Okay, cool. And you guys have been there before, right?
Yeah, I've investigated here probably well over a dozen times at this point. Our most recent investigation was actually about 3 weeks ago here.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about the background of that place, the history, what it's all about.
Okay, well, the Crystal Caverns and Uphill Historic Complex has a large cave that was open to the public, but unfortunately due to the economic situation has been forced to close, as well as two wild caves on the grounds and a battlefield. And what's unique about this particular battlefield is there's actually a number of earthworks that are still intact, where the Union forces artillery were located during the skirmishes after the Cedar Creek battle, which was the pivotal battle here in the Shenandoah Valley. 2 years ago, I actually got a photo of an apparition of a Union soldier when I was standing on one of the earthworks at about 2 in the morning. So it's a really interesting place. We've investigated in the cave, which was open to the public, and what's unique about that is that, you know, you're 89 feet under the rock, and EVPs that you get are absolutely pristine. You know, there's no, you know, there's no background noise. And then, you know, the thing where, you know, skeptics will say, oh, you're picking up stray radio waves or this or that. Well, when you're 89 feet under the rock, you're not picking up stray anything.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a great location.
So, John, when was the battle fought? What year? Was it early in the war or late in the war?
It would have been, now you're going to make me look dumb. Now, I'm originally from California, and out west, you know, we're kind of like into the Indian Wars and stuff, and not so much Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my strong point. My understanding is that these battles would have occurred, I believe, in about the second year of the war.
Okay, so early in the war.
Yeah.
When they are still naive and making frontal assaults and just getting mowed down, you know, at incredible rates, like over 30% casualty rates in some of those frontal assaults.
You know, Gettysburg seems to get all the press, but when you look at these smaller battles, you know, you're still talking 10, 20,000 casualties in one or two days. So, I mean, I guess a small battle is a relative term.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and the carnage just seemed to increase because essentially the whole problem in a nutshell was that the weapons outstripped the tactics. They were using Napoleonic tactics, and the weapons were now rifled, could shoot rifled projectiles, you know, 2,000 yards and kill their opponent. So it was brutal.
Well, like where these cannon works are, it's at the top of a hill, and the opposing troops were having to run up a hill into fortified cannon. So that really didn't work well for them, you know.
Well, you know, early in the war, I think like any true patriots, North and South, they were devout in their belief in the cause, and you know they did things that you know later on in the war they never would have dreamed of. They just dug in, and kept their heads down. Early in the war, they were just like charging right ahead. It was all gallantry and everything until they realized that, wow, those frontal assaults were like you maybe only survive one of those, and two if you're lucky.
Right.
So, cool.
Players were involved in this. Custer was in cavalry, and at this point in the war, he was still a major. Stonewall Jackson was up here doing things. I mean, Mosby the Raider. I mean, just, you know, the whole host of, you know, kind of the A-list in terms of the who's who in the Civil War was involved in activity in this area.
Mm-hmm. And to think about how strong the emotions are then and, you know, what was captured on the battlefield. Absolutely incredible. It got to be a place for conducting an investigation.
Right. You might be surprised on how strong the emotions are now with the people who live in this area in terms of the Civil War and the outcome and stuff. Again, it was kind of surprising for someone who didn't grow up in the South to see just the level of investment in it, if you will.
So, okay, let's... Mike tells me that we have a call. Okay, hold on one second. I'm just, and I'm assuming, Mike, that this is relevant to our discussion. We have Christina, first-time caller. You have a personal experience that you'd like to share. Welcome.
Hi, yes. No, I'm sorry. I was just listening in on the line, and I wasn't really sure what the format was, what questions listeners can ask. But if it's okay, would you be willing to share what your experiences have been like? Or maybe you might not feel comfortable. I don't know. I just called in, and I'm cooking, so I wasn't really sure what the topic was tonight, so I apologize.
Experiences in terms of paranormal experiences?
Yeah. Okay. Anything like angelic or with spirits or just anything maybe that you went through as a child maybe or a teen or even a young adult. I'm not really sure
since I am a
first-time caller.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do is we're going to talk about experiences with spirits and so forth as we get into it, and if we have some time, we will address that toward the end. I'll put you back on hold and you can listen to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys have
a
wonderful night.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, so, John, let's talk about where you're at with the investigation tonight. What have you guys done so far?
Okay, we've been rolling video since about 9:30 here. And let me tell you a little bit what we've got set up tonight. We're actually focusing on a very small area of the battlefield, and it's been an area that's been identified by numerous people as being more unique, if you will. We have currently a flare camera on a light bar connected with a Sony night shot camera, focusing on one area of this meadow. We have another Sony night shot camera focusing in on an area of bushes where we had an experience a couple weeks ago that we'll talk about later. And we have a third camera set back and is videoing us doing our investigation. And that'll tie in, as we explained what happened the last time as well.
Cool. And you've got... Go ahead, John.
We also initially did EMF sweep, and we took a radiation detector, which is not a piece of equipment we normally bring to investigations, but we also did a sweep with that this evening.
Did that reveal anything? Or?
Over by the bush, we had some spikes that seemed to come and go, which, again, is something that doesn't exactly make sense to me why you would have that occur.
Okay, well, let's talk about why you did it over by the bush and what happened about 3 weeks ago. You guys were on an investigation about 3 weeks ago there, right?
Right.
And you want to kind of just give us a detailed review of what happened then?
Basically, you know, we'd started our day by investigating in the cave, once it got dark, we decided to focus on the battlefield. And as we were walking down the path, I wanted to go to the section of the battlefield where I'd gotten the photo of the apparition a couple years back. But we sensed this energy. I know that starts sounding kind of flaky there, but literally, we could feel an energy, and it was unique, so we stopped. And we started, you know, we broke out some of the handheld equipment that we had, and we had some EMF fluctuations and whatnot, and so I broke out the flare camera, and we're panning it across this meadow, and at this point, it's just, sun is just set, so it's, you know, it's getting dark, and in the center of this meadow, and I would guess the meadow to be, I don't know, maybe about 40 yards by 40 yards. Not real mm-hmm. big, and it's got a tree line that rings it, okay? So
mm-hmm.
that's contained. In the center of the meadow, all of a sudden, we see this energy area, which I would estimate to be about 10 feet by 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pulsing. And on the flare camera, on the side of the screen, there's a color continuum, so you can estimate the temperature that you're seeing. And it's appearing that it's in the high 90s. Thing is, that particular day, the outside temperature was probably around 60, and it had been drizzly, and it was cold and damp is what it was. And so we're having this 90-plus degree energy pulse, and it's there, and then it's gone. And then it comes back, and then it's gone. And it went on for, like, over 10 minutes. And, you know, everyone's coming over and looking at my camera and, you know, all really scratching our heads because, you know, it doesn't make sense. For one thing, we can see with our eyes, because it was a full moon night, we could see out into the field, and we absolutely saw nothing that would account for that. So, you know, we're stopped and we're curious about this. So we're there, and probably maybe about a half hour or so has passed. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see movement off to about 15 feet off to my left. And I look over, and stepping out from behind this bush is this, like, 3-foot-tall white entity. And, you know, as you know, I have certain sensitivities, if you will. So the first thing I'm trying to decide, am I seeing this with my eyes or am I seeing this in my head? And then I was absolutely certain, you know what, I'm seeing this with my eyes, you know? And
so let me just ask you this now, and please forgive me, I'm going back and forth to things. Did you see this with your eyes through the flare or in addition to the flare?
No, at this point, I have the flare pointed to the center of this field, and I see this movement over to my left. So I've got the flare camera shooting straight out into the meadow, and I look to my left, and I'm directly looking at this thing in a dark back fin. So I say to the guys, I said, man, I just saw this, like, 3-foot-tall white creature. And so I bring the flare camera over to there where I just seen this thing, and, you know, it's just showing normal vegetation, and the temperature area is all consistent with,
the conditions.
Right? So, you know, I'm, like, totally puzzled, and you know, I don't know what to make of it. So I'm scanning the whole meadow again, and the red pulse comes back, and I'm watching that. And then I notice movement from the corner of my eye again. So I swing the camera over. I see the creature, but what I see on the flare screen is just garbage. I mean, just it looked like, you know, a psychedelic show. There was no focus to it, and it was all just, the colors were just all swirly. And so I moved the camera back away from what that area was into the, like, the center, if you will, and it immediately was into focus again.
Wow.
So it was like, wow, okay. And so anyway, I ended up, again, shortly after that, seeing the white thing. So, you know, I'm totally puzzled by it because, you know, I've seen a lot of weird things over the years, but I've never seen anything like this, and I don't know what to make of it. The other thing is, you know, I'm able to discern spirits, and I can discern gender and age and stuff, and I could not do that with this thing. So I'm absolutely convinced whatever it was not human.
Can you describe what the creature looked like?
Yeah, it was like 3 feet tall. I mean, it was all white. There was like no hair or anything like that. I don't recall it having like a neck that you could see. To me, it was like the head was like just kind of on the shoulders. It was kind of a squat-looking thing with, like, you know, kind of heavy legs and not real long arms. I don't know. And the facial features and stuff like that was kind of blocky. And it kind of reminded me, like, if you think about, like, medieval gargoyles, that kind of style of how they would block out a head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came to mind to me. I mean, it didn't have wings. I mean, you know, it wasn't a gargoyle. But it was that kind of facial structure, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I'm no longer sensing this little white thing. And I end up looking out into the field. And again, you know, we could see into the field clearly because it was moonlit and just the distance. And now in the center of the field is this, like, oblong shape that I would say looked like a person. You know, that it had that characteristic to it.
Form.
That type of form to it. Except the problem with it was, according to the flare camera, it was reading 20 degrees. And so I'm looking at this thing, and it's in the same area where we had those, like, you know, high 90 pulsing area. Only now, this thing is totally focused, and it's, you know, to me, I was estimating it to be about 6 feet tall or so. And, you know, I'm looking over my screen, and I can see that there's nothing there. Yet when I look at the screen, there's something there. And everyone else is looking at it and saying, wow, geez, you know. And so,
looking at the screen? Everybody else is looking at the screen?
Yeah, you know, they were over, like, the three of us are, like, standing there. You know, I got a team guy on each side of me. I've got the camera in my hand, and, you know, it's got a small monitor on it. And we're all looking at the screen and then looking, you know, up to the area where there should be something standing there, yet there's nothing standing there. And again, you know, we're all like, whoa, what is this about?
So let me ask you a question from the chat room on the gray or the white creature, the short one. Did anybody else see that in addition to you?
Yeah. And you'll get to talk with him in a minute. And see, when we were investigating that day, we were co-investigating with another team, okay? And when we investigate, even when I have more of my team here, we break up into, like, subgroups. But we don't communicate during the investigation. So if something happens to one group, we don't tell the other group that something happened, but we'll just say, you know, why don't you go over to this area, you know, and then let them see what happens to them or not happen, right? So we weren't, like, sharing information with this other team. And they ended up ultimately having an experience. And Tim can talk to you about that because he went and got them later and then wanted to watch what happened to them. And so he can tell you how all that played out. The one thing about this white thing that I hadn't mentioned was how it was acting. I sensed what I got from its body language and what it was doing with its hands and stuff like that. I felt like it was mocking me, and I felt like it was trying to get me to follow it in. That was the sense that I got. It was like...
Into the bushes?
Yeah. It was like, you know, it was like teasing me, and it was trying to get me to follow it. And the other person who's a sensitive on the team was like, I'm not going into that meadow. You know, and that was how I felt. You know, and the thing about our group is we're not one of these ones that see something and then turns around and runs. We're the type that, like, sees something and then goes forward towards it, you know? But this wasn't like that. And the sense that we got was, you know what? We need to stay where we are and watch this thing. And that's not usually how, I mean, historically, that's not how we've ever done it.
So it was
quite the night, you know?
I think Grant's got a question on the battlefield area there.
I was just kind of curious. What was there any significance related to the that entity with what occurred historically on that part of the battlefield?
Well, it's funny that you should mention that. actually, this particular area was identified a couple years ago. A Native American shaman came in here and walked the grounds and was saying, well, you know, there's a lot of spirit activity here, you know, spirits that haven't, you know, figured out what they need to do in order to go to, you know, the next place. But in particular, he identified this meadow as an area that we should stay out of. We, you know, the global we, in terms of, that's what he told the director of this historic site. He said, you know what, you should just have people not go to this part of the field and leave it alone. So he was sensing something there out of the ordinary. You know, so that's one backstory to this area. The other one is that the director of this site, as well as a couple other people, have reported UFO activity over this section of the battlefield.
So, and I know we had talked on a previous occasion. This is, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is one of your first experiences where you think that maybe some of this stuff is overlapping.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you and I have in the past talked about it, and I always thought that that was plausible, but it's not something that I had personally ever experienced. Like, I, myself, I've never seen a UFO, okay? You know, I totally think it's a possibility, but I haven't seen one, okay? So I can't speak from any kind of experience as far as that goes. I've never seen what I thought might be an alien. But now I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we've long talked about how phenomena from haunting and PK events and abduction events and UFO phenomena, we've often talked about how they've overlapped the same stuff. So that's why I brought that up with John.
What I find kind of compelling about this is, you know, the whole, you know, the theories in terms of interdimensional beings, okay? The fact that we had this, like, I don't know how else to describe it other than saying there was some type of energy field in the center of this meadow. Some kind of energy anomaly was occurring where we were having temperatures into the high 90s over, you know, like I said, you know, a fairly, you know, large area. And that stops. And then we start seeing this little creature. And then we see this thing standing in there that also, I didn't mention, that at some point it started moving towards us. The one that the taller one that was, you know, approximately 6 feet tall or whatever.
Can you describe that one too when you get to it?
You know, I personally never saw it. I can tell you what I saw on the flare monitor. It was something that was, you know, had a humanish or humanoid type shape, you know, generally. Only it was registering like 20 degrees, and it was moving towards us. And again, you know, at that type of distance, both myself and Joel, when we're dealing with spirits and stuff like that, we can sense gender, we can sense age, and we got none of that from these things. And that's why, you know, I mean, there's so many things here that are puzzling for me, you know, because they were like first. And so, you know, getting back to, you know, the possibility of, you know, maybe these were some type of alien life form. You know, we didn't see no ship. But if you think about the concept of possibly interdimensional beings, we did have this large energy anomaly, and then we had the beings here.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it's kind of plausible, you know, that maybe that's what's going on. Or maybe not. But
Mike's got a question for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember the last time we had talked, you were telling me about the situation, and I asked you whether, you know, when you were pointing the FLIR camera, how it was disrupting your camera and your equipment.
Right.
What kind of physical symptoms your team was having as far as headaches and nausea?
Oh, yeah, well, that was the other thing. We all were affected physically at some level. I had, like, this kind of pseudo-migraine kind of thing going on in terms of, like, this intense pressure on my head. And also it felt like my chest was being compressed. And, you know, each of the other guys can speak to physical symptoms they had. But we were all being affected at some level, you know. Our one guy on the team, he always jokes about being the most insensitive person around, yet he was sensing things as well and feeling things, you know, physically.
And didn't you also say there was like a third entity that the other team had spotted from across the field?
Well, that's
in behind
other,
you?
Right. Tim can talk about what happened at the field, but later on when we were like talking with this team after they had their experiences and then we were like comparing notes and stuff like that, they actually saw when my team and me were walking down the trail, they saw something behind us about 15, 20 feet that they described, well, the psychic on the team described it as a, like a shadow figure, but it was like, you know, 8 feet tall. And it looked like a human, except it'd be like if you took a person and you just stretched them. So everything would be kind of out of proportion. And also, its movement was very odd. It wasn't like walking like a human type thing. It had a very odd gait to it. But again, you know, I didn't see that, but that's what was reported to me. And that would have been behind it. So basically, we're looking out at this area at a small entity and some other type of entity. Now, the one that we saw on the FLIR camera, I wouldn't say was 8 feet tall. So I'm guessing that, you know, we were thinking that there was probably at least three entities that night, three very distinct in terms of size and what.
Cool. All right, so you guys are set up. You've got your cameras in position, and you haven't been on the investigation very long at this point, right?
No, we started at 9:30.
Okay. And so I'm assuming it's safe to say that nothing's really gone on so far.
I mean, not like last time. Right now we have two cameras trained on the bush where we saw the white entity the last time, because Joel actually saw some movement, and I was sensing that something was over there, but I haven't, it hasn't come forth like it did the last time, if in fact anything's going to come forth this time, but right now that's where we got, you know, two cameras and a flare camera pointed. The other thing is that we actually have a very large IR illuminator that can go out to about 100 meters. And so the quality of the filming that we're doing with our night shot cameras, we're not getting that little kind of tunnel vision thing. I mean, we've got this lit up pretty good. So I would say that if that little thing came out, it would be caught on the camera, you know, if it's, you know.
And it's not too much of a time difference, right? I mean, that other thing happened just after sunset, right, before?
Yeah, I mean, that's when everything started happening, was right at sunset. So we're right about the time that things started popping for us the last time. It's really getting wild.
Okay, well, let's talk with Tim.
Okay, actually...
or Joel, whichever.
Let's do Joel, because he was the one that saw it next. And then,
okay.
Then to kind of wrap it up with the experiences of the second team that was here.
Okay.
Okay. All right, here's Joel.
Doug.
Joel.
Hello.
Hi, Joel. This is Doug. Welcome to Paranexus Universe.
Ah, hello.
Glad to have you. So, you were obviously there on the previous occasion. We talked to John a lot. You guys are just kind of getting going on this one. Anything going on so far?
Well, so far tonight, it's not as intense as it was last time. Over on the bushes there where the little white apparition was last time, I've seen it once kind of come out, so hopefully the camera will have something with that. But
tonight you saw it?
Yes.
Really? The same? Which entity are we talking?
The short, about the 3 foot tall white apparition.
Wow. How long ago was that?
Oh, let's see. I'm thinking probably about 20 minutes or so, because I've been kind of standing off to the side here. So I've seen it come out once.
Have you guys tried any communication, or?
No. Not happen. Let's see. Last time, it felt the energy around it felt so strong. I just very felt inclined to observe. I had the distinct impression not to mess with it.
Huh. Damn! I wish I was there.
Well,
yeah.
The only way to this, like last time, I work with crystals. I meditate with crystals, and I can get to a certain point where I can feel the energy flowing through. And what I felt last time was very much that same vibrational quality, but I'd have to compare it like a garden hose to a fire hose. I mean, that's one of the strongest things I've ever felt. It was quite humbling.
And this was the last time or tonight?
It was the last time. No, tonight I haven't felt anything like that yet. Yeah.
Huh. So the last time you saw it with your own eyes as well?
Yes.
And how long was the sighting?
There's this group of bushes, so we have a couple cameras on it tonight, and it would just kind of like pop out, you know, in and out, and it would go like 3 or 4 times, and then a little while later it would come out again. And I'd say we're probably standing there while that was there, probably 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, it would come out every so often.
And it would stay out how long?
Oh, it just pop out. It was just like it would just like step out, step back.
I have a question. What did you guys find so menacing about it?
Oh, I don't know if it's menacing. I'm not sure.
Well, you seem to say that you felt some sort of apprehension in regards to the entity.
The field that was, you know, the energy I could feel around it was so strong.
So the energy, you felt the energy wasn't good.
I don't know if it wasn't good. It was just so strong. I just didn't want to walk into it.
I see.
Put it to the analogy: if you're sitting around the campfire and you see a coal that's glowing real pretty, you don't pick it up to check it out to see how nice it looks on the other side. So, at that point, I just felt like it was the best.
Well, that's a good analogy. I just wanted to. I was just a little unsure. You know,
okay, no, I didn't feel menaced. I just felt it was so intense. I just thought the best thing to do was to observe.
Hmm. How long did that intensity last? I'm just kind of curious. Did it constantly radiate that kind of intensity through the whole experience?
When we first came down, just after dark, we could feel it as we walked up to it. And then we kind of walked through it. There's woods that go around here, you know, the actual battlefield area. And we kind of walked around through that, and when we came back, we couldn't feel it. And then, as you know, well, that's when we came back with a FLIR camera. And while he's looking through, we couldn't feel it at first, and I could like feel the energy rising again. And that's when like he's saying how he saw, you know, that the actual something was coming closer on the FLIR camera. And that's when it was close is when the camera really went out of, I guess like went out of focus. It would look like, you know, that FLIR camera, you can see all, you know, all the details of, you know, the grass and trees and everything, but all of a sudden it would just look like a light show on it. Oh.
Did you have any physiological effects yourself from it?
Yes. I could feel like something was pressing on my chest. Plus, it just like I could feel it just like this, almost this, you know, the energy just like, you know, rushing through my body, but I could, it was almost hard to breathe. I could feel it pushing out my chest.
Hmm. So, and you've never experienced anything like this before, Joel?
Not like that, no. That's one of the most, intense energy sources I've been through with that. I mean, years ago, I've been in situations where I've been pushed down into a seat of a vehicle before, but that entity, you know, that was, oh, that felt human. Whatever this was, I couldn't really put any kind of gender or emotion, or usually I can feel emotions associated with things, and it was just energy. There was no, you know, there was no sense of gender to it.
And this creature is bipedal, right? Two legs.
Well, the little white one, yes. The thing that kind of showed up that seemed to be the source, from what I perceived of it, it was like, I mean, I'm 6 feet tall, and it was a little taller than myself, and it was just like a black shadow. I couldn't really pick up any limbs or face. It was just like, it was oblong, like human shape, but it was like, over, say maybe a 6 foot tall black shadow. Only, I don't know, it's hard to say. It's kind of like the blackness of it was almost, I mean, it was so intense, it was almost glossy, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was just,
mm-hmm.
you know, like drawing light into it. But.
Well, you know, regarding the small white creature, obviously there's a lot of similarities in concept to grays, right? To gray aliens. And there's also been some, should I call it, some reports that the grays, obviously, I mean, a lot of reports of the grays using telepathy and some reports having them with, you know, with an intensity about them, almost a psychic intensity. Is that how you would describe it? Psychic type intensity?
Hmm.
Or
I don't know if it was, no, psychic as much. I mean, it, to me, it was more, it was physical.
You felt it physically.
I could feel it physically. I could just feel this, you know, like I was standing in a rapidly rushing energy field, if that makes.
So you felt it on your body? No,
yeah.
It wasn't a psychic thing. Okay.
No. Huh. I could physically feel this. I say it was like, you know, like holding a good energetic crystal times about 100.
Hmm. Well, interesting story. So you're going to keep your eyes on that area where it's been, where it popped out. It's popped out once already?
I believe I got it coming out once, but yes, we still have cameras on it, and yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great if you got some cameras. Well, cool. Well, we appreciate you stopping in and sharing your experiences with us, Joel.
Well, very good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, so if you've got Tim there, we'll talk to Tim.
Okay, I'll turn it over to Tim. Nice talking with you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Hello?
Hi, Tim. This is Doug. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. You?
Good. Thanks.
Good. So you've been on this site several times as well, right?
Yes.
Can you give us your, you know, what did you see that on the previous visit regarding the white creature? What were your take on it?
Oh, I didn't actually see the white creature that they were mentioning. But when we first walked through, I was with John and Joel, and I had seen something farther back that seemed taller and it was darker. That's the first thing that had caught my eye. And then as we all stood there, Joel and John, of course, were starting to sense an energy. And it was during that time that they both started, you know, seeing the figure, the small white figure.
So did you see, well, you saw the camera, the FLIR camera with the tall, dark shadow?
Right. Well, what I witnessed with the FLIR camera was the small heat signature that got gradually larger and larger and then would diminish back again, which was very odd.
So, and you don't consider yourself psychically sensitive, right?
Not overly. I mean, I think since I've been doing this, I've been getting a little more. So we had a little more of a typical paranormal experience in the woods where the gun emplacements are, where John had actually caught an apparition of a Union soldier. And I was hearing, it sounded like whispering in the woods, and I asked John if he was hearing the same thing, and of course he said he was too, and I don't usually hear stuff like that, so I think it's probably, you know, getting a little more. When I was younger, you know, I saw a lot more, and then I guess kind of grew out of it. As I've been doing this, of course, it's been
developing a little bit,
intensifying a little bit, yeah. The experience that John wanted me to mention to you about the field here was that we had another team here that night, and one of the people that were here is sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and it was a female, and her father was here, and I thought it would be a good idea to bring them too, because they didn't have any idea what was happening over here. They were in a different part of the battlefield. So I brought them over to the field and didn't tell them anything about what we had experienced, and just stood them in front of the field and just asked them to stand there and see if they sensed anything, if they got any, you know, feelings. And we'd been standing there not very long, maybe a minute or a couple minutes, when the female kind of jump back and make kind of a surprise, startled sound. Almost at the same time, I felt kind of an electrical charged feeling kind of come up from the ground and kind of go up, you know, basically my back. It was very odd. And she started saying, "No way." I said, "Well, what?" She said, "I just saw a little white figure come out of the bush, kind of go back and forth, and then go back in the bush." And the way she described the what she saw was that she had a sense it was playing, like, with her or encouraging her to come into, you know, into the brush. And it kind of freaked her out. And
so that's three different people that saw this white entity.
Right, and, like, I didn't separately. See it. But, you know, I did feel that strange energy feeling about the same time she said she saw it.
Interesting. So, well, cool. So what's your what are your plans for tonight?
Well, we have a variety of pieces of equipment focused on this part of the field. I have a night vision scope with just a regular camera set up to it, and I've been taking still shots, different angles with that. And basically, see if we can get any more of the same activity.
Well, sounds good. Well, really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences with us, Tim.
Well, you're welcome.
So if you want to give it back to John, yeah, well, and we wish you guys a good investigation.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, John. So interesting stuff. And so far we've talked about what you guys had witnessed prior, and the whole time you guys have been got your equipment going and you've been monitoring the area. Joel says that he has seen the white entity again tonight pop out.
I saw movement over there, but I didn't get a straight on it. But, you know, like I said, right now we've got that area covered with two camcorders and the flare, so, you know, cross your fingers, see if we get something.
Yeah, well, I hope
so. Do you guys want to speculate, you know, in terms of, like, based on what you've heard, what we might be experiencing here?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, we'll first of all put out a disclaimer that the following is just speculation and in a brainstorming type of fashion.
Right.
But, yeah, what do you think?
Well, you know, our mindset was we were going to come here and interact with Civil War era spirits, because that's what's happened every time we've been here before. And then we had this happen to us, and it just really kind of blew us out of the water just in terms of what our expectations were. Because, you know, we've never investigated, UFO or alien-type activity, and this does not have the feel of, like, a traditional haunting.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it just simply doesn't. At so many different ways, it doesn't. Just in terms of, you know, how our equipment was acting, just, you know... I hate to use the whole sensitive and psychic things because those are phenomena in themselves to explain something, but how we perceived it at that level was totally different than how we've historically perceived hauntings. So, you know, whatever this is, it's not that. You know, I'll go there with this. Whatever it is, it's not a haunt.
Well... here's a question from the chat room. Do you use a full-spectrum camera?
Well, actually, Tim just set his off and spent about $900 for the conversion, and it's going to be here Monday morning. So the answer is in the future we will be, but tonight, unfortunately, it didn't arrive in time.
Yeah, that's too bad. So, you know, the thing is that... what you've witnessed on this investigation underscores, in my opinion, the need for cross-field training. You know, if for example, if a typical haunting type group went in there and got this kind of a thing, it would be so easy to, and many of them would, ascribe it to a demon or to some kind of malevolent spirit or something on that order, but that may obviously be not what it is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, again, you know, the problem is everyone always wants to put a word on something, and sometimes words don't really work. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, we want to label something because, I don't know, whether it makes us more comfortable, but the label doesn't really fit. Because, you know, if someone was, like, into the occult, they might look at this and say, oh, well, that was an earth spirit. Someone, as you said, you know, looks at it from maybe a religious standpoint and might say, oh, well, that was obviously something demonic. You know, and so, again, you know, it's like everyone may...
John, what about any Native American activities that occurred there prior to the battlefield? Have you guys done any research in regards to...
Yeah.
Because sometimes these things can overlap, and maybe there might be some, you know, that's not the only battlefield that that might have occurred on. You know, Chickamauga is famous for that as well.
Right. Well, the shaman says that this area, he felt, was a desecrated Indian burial ground, and he felt that there was things associated with that.
So you got a double whammy going on there.
Well, yeah, and then if you look physically where this is located on the hill, and, you know, typically, you know, the burial areas, they wanted to put them, you know, basically as high as, you know, the heaven as possible, or to the heavens, and this would have been basically about as high as you could get in the general area.
And, of course, military, everybody knows military tactics. The primary is take the high ground. So it's quite possible maybe the entity is something that is older than the Civil War, but felt that the ground that it occupies was perhaps violated.
You know, that's a possibility. The other thing is maybe Native Americans have been documenting these type of things for, you know, hundreds of years, but within their framework, with their understanding of the world around them, they labeled it in ways that, you know, worked for their understanding of the world around them. But maybe, you know, what they were talking about was some type of being that was able to, you know, come from another dimension. You know, that's why I'm saying that I think a lot of time words fail because, you know, for instance, if all of a sudden you and I, Grant, got zapped 1,000 years in the future and we were walking around, looking around and stuff like that, and then we came back and we had to tell Doug what we saw, we'd totally screw it up. Because we'd have to use our understanding of the world to describe a world that we're not familiar with. So when
sure.
we would see something, we would have to use like an analogy or even a metaphor to describe it because we wouldn't
yeah.
really conceptually understand it. So, you know, when you look at all these like, you know, ancient writings about potential, you know, UFO and alien interaction, it's like, you know, I think that people forget that they have to get into the mindset of who was trying to describe that and when they were trying to describe it, just in terms of, you know, what their understanding of the world around them was. You know, if you're in a civilization where, you know, you're going around with, you know, horse and carts, that's your level of technology, and you see a spaceship and you're going to say, and you see this thing moving across the sky, you know, how are you going to describe it? You'd probably say, well, there was this horse and cart that went across the sky, you know, because that would be
it wasn't all that long ago where a helicopter flew over a tribe of Indians in the Amazon.
Right.
That they were throwing spears at it because...
Arrows, yeah.
That they thought it was, you know, a thunder god or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, we're not that far removed from it, you know.
Well, that's some interesting stuff. I mean, the similarities to obviously to a gray are striking, although you describe it as somewhat different. But, you know, who knows? This is why we do this stuff, to try to get glimpses into what could be, and the fact that you've, number one, I mean, three different people saw this white creature with their own eyes. That's compelling. Secondly, you saw the distortion on the FLIR. You know, could that have been due to some camera malfunction or anomaly? You know, who's to say? But you saw something, some figure on it too. You know, so
well, nothing else. You know, Doug, it kind of fits into the trickster mode that we've talked about more than one time on the show, and that John and his associates are very well familiar with. That the nature of the paranormal sometimes, when it does appear, even if it's briefly, can be extremely puzzling and nonsensical, which, you know, kind of is what we should expect from it.
Yes, and, you know, there's also, the possibility of the overlapping dimensions, which, you know, takes us to the quantum physics area.
You know, the thing that kind of amuses me about this whole thing just conceptually, too, is that, you know, and a lot of people would be like, you know, they're out looking for ghosts. How could they possibly be surprised about something? You know what I mean? But literally, you know, we just were not in the mindset or having any level of expectation for the event that occurred. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we know all about self-fulfilling prophecies or
sure.
being psyched up to see something. But I can assure you that didn't happen that night because this was simply not in our vocabulary, so to speak. Because, you know, again, this was just so far out of our experience range that it was just, I mean, I'm still amazed by it. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what we saw, you know? So, I don't know.
All right, well, we are down to are less than three, well, about 2 minutes now. John, we hope you guys have a great investigation. Hope you were able to catch something on video this time around.
Well, if we get something, we'll get it up on the forum.
Yeah, we hopefully you will. And we appreciate Tim and Joel coming on and talking about their experiences as well. Before we leave, we want to just announce that this Monday night we do a new version of Paranexus. Is an additional show, Paranexus Universe. We have been having a members chat and occasionally a public chat in our chat rooms on paranexus.org, so we decided to kind of bring it on over to Blog Talk Radio, so everybody can join us. It's at 10 o'clock Monday night. It'll be for an hour. John and I will be talking about his investigation tonight a little bit more, and this is just an informal paranormal show. You know, we invite our members to pop in, call in, just say hi, get in the chat room. It's informal. It's just a discussion. Anybody can come on in, and we encourage our members and board members and everybody to just have fun with it. It's not replacing Paranexus Universe regular show on Thursdays. It's just an additional one that we're going to, you know, see how it goes and just have a little fun and see if we can't learn something together. Also, this coming Thursday, we have Psychic Perspective on Paranexus Universe, and typically Gregory Kent posts that. I will be sitting in for him. He's going to be away for that week, but I will have Dinah Arnett and Reverend Janet there. We will be talking about psychic development, and Janet will be taking readings on the air as well, so join us for that. If you haven't visited Paranexus.org, please do. We'd love to have you as a member. There's a lot of benefits to joining Paranexus, a lot of things in the on the website and the forum that will aid you in your research and investigation. And with that, we are virtually out of time. Mike, thanks so much for being with us tonight and screening calls.
No problem, guys.
And John, again, thanks for taking the time out of your investigation.
Yeah, no problem. Sure.
And Grant, as always, my friend.
Oh, yeah, and keep up the good work, John. We know that for the folks out there that haven't done a lot of investigation, it's all about doing it all over again and trying to capture the data. So good luck to you guys out there.
All right,
and
thanks
everybody for joining us. We hope you have a great weekend and hope to see you Monday night and Thursday night. Good night.
In the night, in the shadows, in the sky, it's Paranexus Universe.